So, I have a list of five names here. Amy, Michael, Mick, Susan, Ginger. You prepared something, right? Or was that the other list I have up top? I'm sorry. I'm kidding. No. I have another list of five people that Herb had talked with these people at some point and said, hey, I think these people have something to share. And no, it's not the first list. And so today, we are going to hear about stories of ironing, sharpening iron, and these people will be sharpening us as fellow believers, sharing their testimony a little bit with us today. And we are going throughout to hopefully fully memorize the scripture that we've been working on, right? So either putting it up, is it up there? Good. Proverbs 27:17. Let's go ahead and say it once together. As iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. I have a theory that most verses in the Bible that have sevens are better verses than the other ones. I don't know if you've ever seen that. And I'm entirely joking with that, but one of God's favorite numbers is seven. Before we go, I don't know if you all have trouble with this, and it's something that I did today, so I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'm going to encourage you to do it as well. This will be my sharing with you, is calming of spirit. How many come into church with a calm spirit? Whoa, third, we're good. How many of us struggle with that? So I want to take a moment and let's just kind of calm our spirits before we hear from these people. And I'm just going to kind of walk us through an exercise and then open us in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time and we pray that we can calm ourselves and hear what you have to say. And Lord, as we sit here, Lord, I'm going to encourage us each to just kind of picture that we're in a huge room, a real big room, one that echoes. One that, you know, if we yell out, we're going to hear ourselves back. And we can touch, we can reach as far as we want in any direction and not touch anything. And we're sitting in a chair in this room, Lord. And then all of a sudden, we start seeing this cloth swirl around us. And we know that we aren't alone, but we're still in this big room. But the room doesn't seem as big. And it continues to wrap us and keep us safe. And feel comfort, Lord, and warmth. And we know that the end, Lord, that of that cloth is you. We might not see you. You might be so far at the end of that hall. We don't see you. But we know that you're there. Lord, let us be able to put all stuff aside and be able to be swaddled in your robe today as we hear from these people. As whatever it is that you have for us to hear, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. That helps you all, but it helps me when I do that, and I never can do it with my kids around. I love my kids dearly, so I had to wait for them. So I do have these beautiful people that are going to come speak with us today, and I have no particular order unless they do, and I just want to kind of reach out and ask, does anyone really have a desire and feel called to go first? EJ does. You are the first on the list, and you were going to be called. Really, all right. I have known EJ for years and years and years. I think you started coming back here about the same time my wife and I started attending. So whatever God has to share with you, we are open and ready to hear it.
Thank you. I'm EJ, and I wanted to share that I was fortunate to grow up Roman Catholic with my mother, who was a very deep believer, and I had questions ever since I was 5 years old. I remember playing outside, and I was by the stream, and the hills were there, and the trees, and the sun, and all of that. And I'm thinking, where does this all start? How did this all come about? So I go, and I ask my mom. You always ask your mom the questions. And she said, it's all from God. God created everything, and that started the whole process. Well, then I go through the process of Catholicism and attend church every Sunday, go through all the sacraments, and had lived this life for a lot of years, thinking that I need to understand how faith works. And I got it a little wrong in the sense that I thought knowledge is power and knowledge is faith. And so I learned whatever I could, everything that I could. And I went through the diligences of the rituals and the practices and the special occasions and everything. And in my 30s, I started to just become worn down. It became very rote. It didn't have much feeling to it. I kind of figured I understood what I needed to and that I wasn't doing anything as far as growing. It was just, okay, now what? I do this now until I die. but I had God bless me with getting me fired from a job, the only job I was ever fired from in my life. And I found another job where there was a preacher that worked there. And I was impressed that they had talked freely about their faith. And when things would be going wrong or haywire with their life, they would bring scripture into it. And I thought, this is pretty interesting how this person ties their everyday life into church, and they don't have it on hold until they go to a mass or a ceremony or a sacrament. And it caught my curiosity. And it ended up that this preacher was going to a church over in Homewood, and I invited myself. And, well, the other surprising thing is, in a Roman Catholic church, you only have male priests, and this is a female preacher, and I thought, this is way out there. But I'll go to this church. Well, I guess I have to share, it was a black church, and I'm like one of two white people in this, hundreds of black people here, and let me tell you, they were rocking. This place sings, but that place was like drums and people up and down the aisles and throwing themselves on the floor, and it was like waving their arms and going all this, and it's like, this is crazy. And I'm standing there, and it's so foreign to me, but it broke the dullness of whatever my life had been up to this point, and I see all of this life and this energy, and so it was the starting point. And the discussions that I would have with this preacher woman and going to this church and meeting the men's group at this church had opened my mind to the idea that God is very much alive in the world and his spirit affects people differently. And I don't have to live a rote life. I don't have to live a marching along the rules and order of whatever seems to have been figured out by everybody else. And then because that viewpoint had changed, I had always been opening to listening to what others had to share about faith. And as I experienced other churches and people talking and their personal experience with Christ, I had allowed now for myself to become whole and to realize that Christ is of heart and spirit and it's complete. And that's where the joy comes in my life, mostly now with the relationships. So when Herb's up here talking about our relationship with God, I think about how my life had changed from all those rules to relationship with human beings. And I want to have that kind of alive relationship with my Christ and Savior. And that's where I am today with looking forward to another Iron Sharpens Iron men's conference coming on Saturday, because those men are living that life that I had been so much affected by, and that's what I want to do until the day I drop over. Thank you.
Go ahead and say it with me, Proverbs 27:17. As sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I'm trying to purposely not say it loud so that you're listening to me. I want to listen to you, right? Thank you, EJ. You mentioned bringing up being fired being an interesting pivotal point in your life. And you and I have talked about that before. It was a very big deal. Just this morning, Jaden and I were talking, and we were explaining that, you know, whenever you get disciplines from your parents, you receive those disciplines because they love you. And then my second follow-up is, whose spanks are bigger, dad's or God's? Always to put in perspective, God's are bigger, but they're always because he loves you. And sometimes it might feel like a spank, and it's actually a blessing. And that's really what parents do as well, but God does that. So thank you, EJ, for sharing, and we're glad that you're here. All right. Let's go ahead and have Kelly come up next, since you're next on the list. Is that okay with you? No? Oh, not here yet. Well, we're not going to do Kelly. Nancy, would you be okay with that? If not, that's okay. I can call on someone else. And as Nancy's coming up, for everyone that's here for the first time, we do this probably quarterly almost, as we try to hear from people in the congregation, because part of church is being the church. Do you want to go somewhere to sit? Is
that what you're looking? No, but I want that.
Okay, you can have it. And we appreciate hearing each other and being fed from each other just as much as from Herb, not because we don't appreciate Herb, but we all have something from God to share. So, Nancy, do we grab this here?
Hello.
anytime I do anything like that, it's always like this. It's always confusing because I found out that when God's doing something big in my life, that the enemy throws a little bit of confusion in there. So I narrowed it down to 22 pages. So Mike was after me all week. It's only 5 minutes. You know it's only 5 minutes. So I heard a whisper this week, and it said, you know, he said, start with the end. And so I really wasn't sure what that meant. I just, you know, put it on the side. And as the week progressed in my Bible from 1987, I had, this takes me back to the beginning. It says, God wants you to do this, but don't assume you know the reasons. God's mind is too large to have it all figured out. God's will, do what God will. And the scripture says, don't plan on what you're going to say. When the time comes, he will guide your words. He will use you, but not necessarily the way you wish he would. I tell you this not to discourage you, but to let you know that you may be building up expectations of God. God has a plan. So this is what I'm doing. I have it in some kind of order, but it may be out of order because of what God's doing. So bear with me. So I wear this bracelet, and it says, I know the plans I have for you. And that's been confusing because I know he has plans for me, but I don't know what plans he has for me. And Pastor was talking, when he talked about us doing this, he's talking about people and he's talking about trajectory. And he's talked about a person. I've been writing for over 40 years in my journals, and I went looking back through my journals, and I could not find a person. So my life has not been easy. It's been a roller coaster. When we talk about trajectory, one part of it talks about a missile. And if I were on that missile, part of my life would be to get away from my family as fast as I can. But they have been ironing, sharpening iron also. And the other part is following the path that God wants you to go on. The book is called Legacy of Hope, Making the Connections. I've been writing for 40 years, and I felt back in 1984 that I was supposed to write. But I kept it in my journals. And then in 1989, I decided to go back to school, and I had an interview with a counselor, advising counselor, and I just gave him a little bit of my story and told him I couldn't get here before because I was always dealing with a crisis in my life. And he said, it takes a lot of courage to go back to school at your age. I was 31. And then he said that I must have told him enough because he said that your story is a book waiting to be written. And so I write everything down. Be careful. So next came my English class. And the third thing that I submitted, he wrote on my paper, could God be calling you to write? So I still put that in my journal. And it wasn't until the series, it was the Circle Maker series. We had some discussion about something, and I referred to, I think God wants me to do something, is how I referred to it. But I couldn't say what it was, because for me to say that I think God wants me to write a book, that would be to commit to God. So with a series, hearing the whispers of God and having the guts to do it, I heard the whisper that I'm to move forward. I thought I heard another whisper, and that took me a spiral downhill because it was not of God. I just got done writing the chapter on the masquerade, and my friend, my twin sister, Tony, who is born 28 days apart from me. We know each other. We're Christians. We've known each other for over 30 years, and we went through a Bible series class, and we went through a retreat called Please Understand Me. She is a blessing to me because you're supposed to come up with four letters at the end of the testing. Mike is ISN. What's your letters?
ISTJ.
Okay. And mine is ISNFJP. So Tony's is ISNFTJP, and they told her that one more letter, she'd be gone. So, but I had a hard time with those letters because I'm unique, because 2% of the population have the personality that I have. So I, between living with grief, between living with a dysfunctional life, I was also unique in trying to come to terms with that. And it took a lot. It took a lot on the family. I realized that in my marriage, I brought a lot of excess baggage. I was thinking about that the other day. And you hear the song, you know, I hear the song in my head, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. But what you need to realize is sometimes when that horse is ahead of the cart, there's a lot of crap that comes along. And that's what I brought into the marriage, and that's what I brought into the life. So when I say I could not find a person, that is because God sent an army. He sent me Mike and Heather Deidre. He sent me the Reddicks and the Fries, who took care of me after, who were there for me after my mother passed away. He sent my in-laws. He sent prayer partners. He sent prayer warriors. He sent 8 pastors and pastors' wives, Joan and Sheila, old friends that never gave up and new friends that shake their heads. He sent St. Mark's. He sent New Song. He sent Peace Bible Study of women whose children were wearing graduation hats and mine were wearing diapers. He sent my card club, 5 Strong, of 28 years, where we weather each other's storms and don't play cards. He took my twin sister, Tony, because she knows my heart and she knows how hard it's for me to take off my mask. She feels me pulling back and is encouraging because she knows that my story has to be told, because my story is about God. My story is about me battling with God. I wrestled with God. I blamed God. I was angry with God. I did not trust God. I did not know God. This summer, we had Fridays off at work, and I called them my selfish Fridays because I set that time aside to be with God. And I didn't know what my battles were. I knew there were battles. But then Pastor asked me if I would help facilitate the class Goliath Must Fall. And I said yes without thinking, but I didn't realize that that yes, behind that yes, was the golden key. The golden key to finding out what my battles were. And I'm never afraid to say yes to God. He, without him, even though it's been rough without him, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it without these people in my life. They have sharpened this iron, and I hope to pay back what they have given me. And all the praise and glory goes to God. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Nancy, I recognize the sniffle from Friday night. You and I were in the same ballpark there. Yeah. It is amazing to think about all the people that have helped us throughout our lives. And to write them down, which is what Nancy's kind of encouraging through what she's done through her life, is even more powerful, to think through them and write them down. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Very good. Proverbs 27:17. Good, 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 good. All right. Pam, let's go ahead and have you next, if that's okay. Yeah. You can take, do you want this off?
No, it's okay.
You want this?
No. I'm going to hold it. Hope you guys don't mind. I'm just reading this off the paper because I knew this would be the easiest way for me to do it. When Herb asked me to do this, several people came to mind. And so I wasn't really sure who to go with. So I just said, you know, God, you gotta tell me who you want me to talk to and who had the most influence on me. And my Aunt Ruth, who was also one of my best friends, was the person that God kept putting on my heart. So this is who I'm going to talk about today. And that's her up there. My grandmother was one of seven children, and they belonged to the Nazarene faith. And at that time, the Nazarene faith was very strict. Women couldn't wear makeup, couldn't wear jewelry. They couldn't cut their hair. You couldn't smoke, you couldn't drink, you couldn't play cards, things like that. And most of the children continued that faith of Nazarene. In fact, I was brought up Nazarene, and I belonged to the South Hills Church of the Nazarene, which is actually just right down the street a couple miles. My father, along with most of his seven brothers and sisters, as adults, continued to follow the faith. I grew up in the South Hills Church of Nazarene, which is who was pastored by Dallas Musey. He was a man of great faith and who had a desire to bring people to Christ. I had a great respect for him, and even as a young person, it was because of him at the age of 13 that I accepted Christ. Although I accepted Christ as a young girl, when in my 20s, I no longer went to church. My parents had moved to Florida, and Pastor Musey had moved on within the church. He had moved to New York State. And I didn't really feel a connection with the new pastor. So though I believed, I wasn't growing at all in my faith. Of all my father's siblings, my Aunt Ruth had the strongest faith of all. She was small in stature but bold in faith and was known in our family as an awesome prayer warrior. The woman didn't have a mean bone in her body. She had compassion and Christian love for everyone. On several occasions in her company, I would complain about someone who had been mean or rude, and she would just lean forward, and in that soft little voice, she'd say, "Oh, honey, they just need Jesus." She was so cute. I just loved her. In the early 1980s, my parents had moved to Florida because of my father's health. And in 91, at the age of 69, my father was suffering from a crippling form of arthritis and could no longer walk. Doctors also suspected that he was having many strokes. I was a young mother of three by this time, and though I had never flown and was scared to death of flying, I decided to be brave and go to Florida and spend time with him. My mother had talked to my Aunt Ruth about my coming for a visit, and sometime after, my aunt called me and told me that she felt that we should pray about this trip. So over the phone, for a long time, she poured out her heart to God, and finally she stopped and she told me that God had pressed upon her that I shouldn't wait until the end of the month to visit, but that I needed to leave right away. And I said, "Oh, Aunt Ruth," I said, "that's impossible. The ticket's already been bought. There's no way they aren't going to make me pay something for charges for changing it at the last minute. My husband would have to ask for time off and to get his mother to watch the boys. And there's no way this could be done at the last minute." And she said, "Pam, the Lord will provide. He wouldn't have told me if it wasn't possible." And the more I told her it was not possible, the more she insisted that I needed to do it. And reluctantly, I called my husband at work, and I told him. And he called the airport, and they changed it without any kind of charges, and I got a ticket for the very next day. I got there on Friday morning, and on Saturday morning, my mom left early for her job at the local Walmart. I wanted to go buy some souvenir T-shirts for my boys, and a neighbor offered to drive me into town. I tucked my dad into bed for his morning nap, told him that I loved him, and that I would be back as soon as possible. Soon after I left, he suffered a massive heart attack and passed away. My words to him before I left were the last words he heard before he left this world. What a gift to have had those last few minutes with him. It would not have had if my Aunt Ruth hadn't called me and told me in no uncertain terms that we were going to pray about it. By listening to the Lord and insisting I prayed with her showed me how important, how powerful prayer could and can be. And it changed how I viewed my prayer life, and it changed my life. A few years later, when my youngest son, Jacob, was six, a couple of my girlfriends talked me into going to a cabin that belonged to one of the women for the weekend. We left on a Friday evening and planned to come home Sunday morning. But sometime during the night, that first night, I woke to a voice telling me to pray for my son. I remember saying in my head, "But I have three sons. Which one am I praying for? And why am I praying?" And again, I heard the voice say, "Pray for your son." And so I did until I fell asleep. The next morning, I called home, and my mother-in-law answered and told me that Jack, my husband, was at the hospital with Jacob and that he was having emergency surgery. I had a cell phone, and for those of you who are young, cell phones, when they first came out, were awful. You had to put the little antenna up and pull the little thing down and you push buttons and you call someone. There weren't that many cell towers. So where we were, I was having a really hard time getting through, and Jack couldn't get a hold of me. So we packed up our stuff and they drove me to St. Clair Hospital. I cried when I saw my son laying in the hospital bed after his surgery. His face was so swollen I didn't even recognize him. Jacob had developed cellulitis in a tooth that had spread quickly through his face and into his brain, all in less than 24 hours. The doctors had to remove his back teeth and insert drainage tubes to try and pull the infection down from his brain. He was also put on massive doses of antibiotics. They were not sure if he would make it, but he did. And then they told us he would be brain damaged, but he wasn't. My prayer life became stronger because my Aunt Ruth's belief in prayer and the fact that she felt so strongly that she could boldly tell me at a critical time what I needed to hear in no uncertain terms. It was truly an iron sharpening iron moment for me. My aunt went to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago. She was the last of her siblings and their spouses, including her own. At her funeral, my cousin, Susie, her daughter, told me that she had been driving with my Aunt Ruth when she said to Susie that she didn't understand why everyone else got to go to heaven and be with Jesus and she was still here, that she really wanted to just go home. So my cousin said, well, Mom, why don't you pray about it? Susie said that Aunt Ruth got a big smile on her face and said, oh, I'm going to pray about it right now. And she said, Jesus, I really just want to come home. Please take me soon. The next day, she fell into a deep sleep, and then she went into a coma. And the day after that, the Lord answered her prayer. Amen. Does God answer all my prayers with a yes? No. But because of my Aunt Ruth, my prayer life became stronger and has continued to do so and has given me the ability to better accept the no's when they come. Thank you.
Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17, great. Thank you, Pam. It's a great reminder of prayer and its power for us. All right, Pete, it's your turn, sir.
Could you put that picture up? Thank you. That's my father on the right. If you want to know about that picture, that's a funny story, but... And on the left is my brother, Andy, and his son, Sammy. But the two people in my life that were iron sharpening iron were those two people. I grew up in a loving family, loved the Lord. Always went to church with my dad and my brothers. My mom was Catholic, is Catholic. She went to her church, but of course she was still supportive and loving. And... at age about 10 or 11, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank the Lord. But I didn't live my life for the Lord at all. And about that time, going from fourth grade to fifth grade, my parents decided to pull me out of the public school system, which was a blessing. I was very upset at the time. But later down the road, I knew it was the choice I needed because... I wasn't a wild child by any means, but not walking with the Lord, you're subject to anything, and I was. And I really got out of control. I had a good friend. He was my best friend, and we just got in a lot of trouble together and really fell away from the Lord. And can't tell you how much I regret that, but Lord had a plan for my life. One day, and me and my dad, of course, we always talk, but one day I was just talking to him, and just the Holy Spirit absolutely convicted me of the way I've been living. I broke down like you can't believe. I spilled the beans, told him what I've been living like, you know, what I've been doing. And I was just a total mess starting right there. I was in depression. To a point, I was mentally suicidal. I could not forgive myself for the way I was living. And those were some of the worst times of my life. From that moment on, for that summer, but leading through the next years, it was rough. I was not resting in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. I just wasn't. I was so guilty. I felt so guilty and so ashamed of the way I've been living. And it was, like I said, some of the worst times of my life, but you know what? It was some of the best times because the Lord really grabbed my heart at that point, really opened my eyes to how I was being and living. And from that moment on, the Lord started really... do a wonder in my life. And me and my brother, I have another brother, and he's older. But at that time of my life, me and Andy, we were really close together. And we would just talk sometimes and just encourage each other in Christ, mostly him with me with how I was. But he would just remind me that the Lord still loves me, that even though I've lived my life how I was living my life, that the Lord still loves me, that he has forgiven me, and that I need to turn away from what I was doing, which I did a lot, quit a lot of things cold turkey, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. But he always reminded me, because I beat myself up over it all the time, and he also always reminded me of this verse from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the next verse is really something I repeat to myself every day. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And I would just say that verse day after day, because, you know, and it was right. I was beating myself up, but I had to rest in the safe knowledge of Jesus Christ and redirect my thoughts. And it was very difficult for me to do that just with the state of mind I was in. But my brother would reassure me in that, would remind me of that, would pray with me. My dad would always pray with me. My dad at that time was busy with his work. I now know, understand what that's like, but at that time I didn't understand what that was like. But he was so busy, had so much on his mind. He had a medical condition he was dealing with at the time, but he still took the time to reach out and love me. And of course, those of you who have kids understand what it's like to love your child. And I don't understand. I don't have that understanding yet because I have no kids, but he was with me every single step of the way, encouraging me in the Lord, praying for me, praying with me, just really helping me through my situation. And through Jesus was an iron sharpening iron. I mean, and I was just total, I was a blob. I was just out of it. I was depressed all the time. And that was not me. I was always the laughing, happy person, and I was gone. But as time went on, I forgave myself. I still struggled with some stuff, but my brother and my dad especially were really supportive and helped me through things. And I just thank God for them so much. They're the world to me, and I don't know what I would be without them, because especially if my parents didn't pull me out of the public school, I don't know where I would have been. Only God knows, but it's a blessing that they did that. And it's just, I really think about this, and they were, my dad always loved the Lord. It's always been close to him, not always, I should say, in his marriage, I should say. Was always close to the Lord. My brother was strong in the Lord as well, and that is what got me through this. And I always think to do the same for others, to be an iron sharpening iron to others. You have to make sure you're walking by the Lord, walking with the Lord, meditating on His word day and night, just living your life for the Lord, so you can be that to somebody. And it's a challenge at times, but it's something we have to do if we want to be, you know, that iron sharpening iron. I heard a quote. I don't know their name. It doesn't matter, really. It says, when you're with somebody, listen to understand. Don't just hear them. Let go in one ear out the other. Listen to understand. When you do that, your response will be that much better and that much more wise. And with that, it goes about how you got to make sure you're walking with the Lord. It is so important. I pray for a lot of people that they would you know, they have troubles, they have situations that they're dealing with, but I always pray that they are walking with the Lord. That is the most important thing. When you walk with the Lord, your decisions and everything that you do will be according to his will for your life. But if you're not walking with the Lord, as I lived, it's just a mess, and you're susceptible to absolutely anything. So I also just want to encourage you guys. I just pray that you guys are walking with Jesus, that you love him, and just that you can be that iron sharpening iron to somebody. I have that opportunity right now. I have a coworker I've been training. I don't know if I should be witnessing to this person or fellowshipping with this person. I know she loves God. I know she wants to get closer to God, but that doesn't mean she knows him as personal Lord and Savior. But the opportunity is there. And so I look forward to hopefully being a good influence in their life to lead them towards iron sharpening iron to help them along their way. So thank you.
Again, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17.